Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today we look at the great feast of Saints Basil the Great and Gregory Nazianzen. And you might say, who are Basil and Gregory? Well, let me fill you in. This is an excerpt from Magnificat magazine. I think it's an excellent summary. It says, as a bishop, Basil the Great fed the poor, addressed the destitute and the marginalized, and created a hospital for the sick. He was truly one of the fathers of the church's social doctrine. That was from Pope Benedict XVI, that Basil the Great fed the poor, addressed the destitute and the marginalized, and created a hospital for the sick. So he was truly one of the pillars, one of the founding pillars of the church's social doctrine, according to Pope Benedict. Gregory Nazianzen, a lover of solitude and philosophical contemplation, delivered majestic orations or speeches or sermons on the Trinity that earned him the title the theologian, the theologian. Both men developed and solidified the Trinitarian formulations of the church in the face of the Arian heresy that Christ was not God. And it's these two, but in a particular way, Gregory Nazianzen had so worked and so come to a depth of understanding, we can never plumb the whole mystery of the Trinity, but he had come to such a depth of understanding that both of those men, developed and solidified the Trinitarian formulation, that is what the church teaches, of the church in the face of the Arian heresy. And the church's theological reflection on the Trinity is unthinkable without their contributions. One died in 379, the other in 390. It's worth going back, brothers and sisters, it's going back and reading about Basil the Great and Gregory Nazianzen. Really encourage you, if you have time, get some books out of the library on their lives. I think you'll learn a lot. O God, who were pleased to give light to your church by the example and teaching of the bishops, Saints Basil and Gregory, grant, we pray, that in humility we may learn your truth and practice it faithfully in charity. Always kind, always loving, but don't ever blur the truth. It's very, very important for us in age in which we live and the difficulties that we may face in conversation, but never deny the truth. Do it with love, but never deny the truth. The first reading is taken from the first letter of St. John, chapter 2, verses 22 to 28. Beloved, who is the liar? Whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ, whoever denies the Father and the Son, this is the Antichrist. Anyone who denies the Son does not have the Father, but whoever confesses the Son has the Father as well. It's very, very important, essential, not that we understand the Trinity, but that we honor it, that we understand what we can by the teaching of great doctors in the church. But it's most important, three persons, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let what you heard from the beginning remain in you. If what you heard from the beginning remains in you, then you will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made us, eternal life. I write you these things about those who would deceive you. As for you, the anointing that you received from him remains in you, so that you do not need anyone to teach you. His anointing teaches you about everything and is true and not false, just as it taught you. Remain in him. Draw close, brothers and sisters, to the Lord. Draw close to his word. Draw close to the action of his Holy Spirit in your life. And by drawing close, I mean give God time every day. God's very polite. He doesn't interrupt usually. He could, but he doesn't. He waits for you. He waits for your heart to be open to say, teach me, show me, help me. And now, children, remain in him. That is, walk with him, live with him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be put to shame by him at his coming. I can't imagine what it would be like to, in a certain way, be a Christian on the outside, but your heart is far from him. When you die, what would it be like? And I'm not saying that to frighten you. I'm just saying, look at that. This is the God who created you. This is the God that gave you life. This is the God that fathered you. This is the God that gave his only begotten son for you so that you might live with him forever. This is the God who gave you his Holy Spirit that you might live and dwell in the presence of God, and that that Holy Spirit can inspire and counsel and aid you to draw closer. My goodness, brothers and sisters. Don't put it aside. Don't put aside the gift, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what's happened to you in your life, no matter what sin has been committed against you. Don't deprive yourself of what God himself has for you. Psalm 98, all the ends of the earth have seen the saving power of God. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wondrous deeds. His right hand has won victory for him, his holy arm. The Lord has made his salvation known in the sight of the nations. He has revealed his justice. He's remembered his kindness and his faithfulness toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation by our God. Sing joyfully to the Lord, all you lands. Break into song. Sing praise. Thank God for his mercy toward us. Thank God for his love for us. Thank God for his forgiveness. Thank him. And the gospel today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 19 to 28. This is the testimony of John. When the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to him to ask him, "Who are you?" He admitted and did not deny it, admitted, "I am not the Christ." John the Baptist was baptizing everywhere. And the Jews are very up in arms about this. And who is he? So they sent priests and Levites to him to ask him, "Who are you?" He admitted and did not deny it, but "I'm not the Christ," because some people were saying he was. And can't pride get us? Can't pride just kind of maybe not lie, but just kind of tamper with a few, quote, minor points? But not John the Baptist. "I am not the Christ." So they ask him, "What are you then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you, so we can give an account to those who sent us? What do you have to say for yourself?" And look what he said. Do you see how totally sold out his life is to Jesus? Look at this. "I am the voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as Isaiah the prophet said." So he's quoting Isaiah, and he says, "I am the voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" In other words, "I am going before the one who is to come." Well, they ask him, "Well, why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ or Elijah or the prophet?" And John answered them, "I baptize with water, but there is one among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie." This happened in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. I want you to see something here. There's genuine humility. This is genuine. This is not put on. And they say to him, "If you're the voice of one crying out in the desert, why then do you baptize if you aren't the Christ or Elijah or the prophet? And he said, I baptize with water. But there is one among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie. The Messiah is coming. I am not the Messiah. In fact, I am unworthy even to do the absolutely most menial task of any slave, to untie the sandals that were caked with mud and dirt of all kinds, you can imagine. And that's what the slaves had to do. It was the most menial of tasks. And what does John the Baptist say? But there is one among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie. I am not worthy to even do the most menial, the most odious at times tasks. I am not worthy even of that. Brothers and sisters, sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I go into a church and I pray for a few minutes, or I go into a chapel in our mother house and just stop in to make a visit and pray for a minute. And I was pondering that the other day, and I was thinking almost how lightly I do it. Hello, Jesus. And then I might pray for someone I promised to pray for. I might repeat the morning offering, or there's a whole host of things. I might say a decade of the rosary. But oftentimes I find that I've done all this, I've said all this, but have I honestly realized that when I walked into that chapel, I came face to face with the living God? I can't see him yet, but I'm right there in his presence. And I'm acting, some days I'm acting like however I'd be for any visit to anybody. Hi, how are you? I don't say that to God. But so often, because I have such access to the Eucharist, I can begin to take it for granted. And I can't. I can't. My poor, weak, sinful self comes into the presence of Almighty God. And but for his goodness, I could be condemned to hell. But his goodness, his kindness, his mercy. And so what that triggers in me is greater and greater gratitude for what God is doing for me. But it takes eyes of faith, because it seems just like an ordinary action in a, quote, ordinary room. I know it's not ordinary at all, but it can feel like that. Just running here, running there. And God is glad even if we have 10 seconds to stop. But acknowledge that I am genuinely in the presence of Almighty God, and worship him even for a moment or two. Worship him as he deserves to be worshiped. May we decrease that he may increase. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I would like to encourage you to read again my booklet on faith more precious than gold. I've been talking a lot about faith and will continue to do so, and that booklet could be very helpful to you or to others you'd like to give it. Simply call our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or go online to renewalministries.net and click on bookstore.